You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King. For this show, the Grizzlies lose to the Chicago Bulls 109-107 at home tonight on Wednesday night as I record this. It was an interesting game, that is for sure. It was definitely interesting. It was hard to watch in the first half. The Grizzlies had their chances down the stretch. We'll talk about all that and more coming up on today's show. If you're not already following the show, go ahead and follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Grizz. If you're not already following me on Twitter, go ahead and do that as well, at King underscore producer. That is where we will continue the conversation after the show. And so, again, the Grizzlies lose to the Chicago Bulls 109-107. It was an interesting game for sure. The first half, I actually tuned in right as the first quarter was ending. I had dinner with my family, but it was just that first quarter was brutal. 20-20 first quarter. Good thing I only watched a small portion of that. But the second quarter wasn't much better. It was 26-26, and so it was all tied up at half. The Grizzlies really, really struggled tonight with transition defense. I mean, they struggled with quite often this year. And as much as we want to talk about them being a defensive team, that is just not the case. They are not a good defensive team at all. And the Chicago Bulls just ran on them. I mean, they literally just ran all over them. Most importantly, Zach LaVine was with 30 points for Zach LaVine, 12 for 19 from the field, 2 for 4 from 3. But, man, a lot of his buckets are just straight line drives. Like, no rotation, no help. It is just him driving to the basket, unimpeded at all, for dunks and layups. I mean, 7 or 8. I mean, I don't even know how. I lost count. I was trying to actually count them so that I could say correctly how many that he had, but I lost count trying to do so. Like, it's just terrible. Like, how can you call yourself even a remotely good defensive team, that is what you want to hang your hat on? And there's just no rotation at all with this team. I don't understand what they practice as far as defense is concerned. I don't get it sometimes. Like, I know that there are a lot of good players. I really do. I understand that there are a lot of new players. I understand that. I get it. But, like, there's a certain point where, I mean, this was happening even before the trade deadline with Mark and everybody else. There's a certain point where the rotations are just off, and the defensive assignments are just off. And you saw that with Zach LaVine tonight. I mean, and Zach LaVine's a good player. It's not like Zach LaVine's not a good player, but at the same time, you have to do something. And then on his, you know, on the rest of his shots, he just, you know, some of those shots were good shots or some of those defensive assignments were good defensive assignments for Zach LaVine. It was, you know, good defense, better offense kind of thing. And that's okay. Like, you'll live with those type of things. You'll live with Zach LaVine taking jumpers with his hand in his face, and that's okay. And then in the fourth quarter of the game, he had like six points pretty close together in a row. I mean, he was very, very good in that fourth quarter late. Hit some pretty clutch shots. So, like, I get it. Zach LaVine's a good player. He's going to have times where he makes good shots, and you have good defense, and you have a hand in his face, and he's just gonna make those shots. But so many times tonight that he just had straight line drives for this Bulls team and with no help at all. And the fast break defense or this transition defense for the Grizzlies was absolutely dreadful. It starts with also the fact that they missed a lot of shots. Obviously when you miss long, and you front rim a bunch of stuff, it's very easy for a team to grab that ball because it bounces further back, obviously, into the field of play. So it's very easy for a team to grab the ball and just kind of continue in transition and immediately get the ball in transition and is much faster. And so, yes, it starts with the Grizzlies missing shots, but at the same time, they're just not getting back and not getting back fast enough to contest shots at the rim. They had the Bulls had 30 fast break points to just 14 for the Grizzlies. Just something that, again, is just really, really difficult to do. Then the Grizzlies had 15 turnovers, and the Grizzlies had 16 turnovers, and the Bulls had 15. But the Bulls had 26 points off those turnovers, and the Grizzlies only had 15. That is the difference there. Is you turn the ball over, and they had 12 steals versus 7 of the Grizzlies. They steal the ball, turn you over, and get in transition immediately right away, and it makes it even more difficult for you to play transition basketball or transition defense. And that's ultimately what lost them this game is really their defensive, their transition defense. That's one of the biggest factors in this game tonight. And for the Grizzlies themselves, every time they did also have transition defense transition offense for themselves, they were getting denied at the rim. Robin Lopez, I believe, had 5 or 6 blocks. I'm trying to pull that up now. Robin Lopez had 5 blocks tonight. They had 9 as a team, and Robin Lopez averages like a block a game. So and he had 5. I mean, there's a couple, like one on Chandler Parsons where Chandler Parsons tried to like Euro step, and it would maybe in the slowest Euro step known to mankind, like slower than Kyle Anderson's, and it wasn't even good. It wasn't like a slow good. It was just bad, and it was and you could see it from a mile away. So like I get that, but there are other blocks that just. Robin Lopez and the Bulls as a team just played really, really good defense in the paint. I mean, the Grizzlies just every time they were driving to the paint, it felt like every single time they were either blocking a shot or altering a shot or getting hands in a face. And so, you got to credit the Bulls there. They did a good job of playing defense and playing good interior defense, especially when it mattered most. Otto Porter had a huge block. I believe it was on Avery Bradley. Avery Bradley was basically streaking down the court, and Otto Porter took a really, really good angle on him and was able to catch him and block it. And then that was a really important block because that would have put the Grizzlies, I believe, with either within one or up one. I can't remember exactly. But it was important to the game because it was because then the Grizzlies were still down. I believe they were still down 2 at that point. But yeah, it was a huge block for Otto Porter. He was able to get back in transition and get that. So, it's just those type of things. I mean, the Grizzlies were in it there in the fourth quarter. They had chances, they just weren't able to execute. And like that's the issue. Like the execution here, the execution against the Cavaliers, the execution against the Clippers. The execution, even against the Lakers, like the Grizzlies tried everything in their power to lose that damn game against the Lakers, but the Lakers were just so much worse that it didn't matter. And the execution here late in the fourth quarter against this Bulls team as well. They had a chance where believe they were down 2, and the Grizzlies decide to. They got the switch from Lopez onto Mike from Noah, and Mike squares up Lopez and has a great look at the lane. And instead of trying to take Lopez off the dribble, which he could have done easily and possibly gotten drawn a foul or even scored the basketball or gotten a 3-point play, any of those options, he decides to pass the ball to Noah and passes it late to Noah and they gets knocked out of bounds. And thankfully, Lauri Markkanen was just out of bounds when he saved the ball, so the Grizzlies got the ball back. So you get another shot at this, like, I believe it was like 30 seconds left to go. You get another shot, you're down 2, and you run a play, and you actually get Joakim Noah wide the F open under the rim for several seconds before they're able to get back to him. And Mike looks at him, looks him off, passes him up, and passes it to Justin Holiday for a catch and shoot 3. Moving catch and shoot 3, which is not Justin Holiday's strength at all. Justin Holiday's strength is in the corner, not moving at all, not moving at all, catch and shoot 3. That is Justin Holiday's strength, and we've talked about that on the show time and time again. So you So Mike, instead of taking Lopez off the dribble when he should have, decides to pass it to Noah and passes it late, might add. So basically turns the ball over, except for the fact that Lauri Markkanen was out of bounds. So when you have the wide open two to pass it to Noah, which is what you should have done because you were only down by two and there were still 30 seconds left, so you could have fouled easily and still had it. Even if they made two shots, you still have a chance to tie it with a three. They go for the three and the win, and it looked like that was certainly by design. But again, that's the wrong situational play there. You have Noah wide open. You don't have to take a three there. You take whatever is given to you first. It's not like you're down five. It's not like you're 5 seconds to go down three. You got to have a three to tie, or you got to have a three to win. And there's just not a lot of things left. You're up. There's 30 seconds left on the clock. You are only down by two, and you still have a timeout at that point. Everything is to your advantage there to extend the game. So literally what you, is situational basketball there tells us you take the first available best shot. That is what it is. And instead of doing that and passing to Noah, they give up a great look at the front of the rim, which there's a good chance Noah would have gotten fouled even if he caught the pass late. The defender is running from behind him, so he has no chance at blocking it. So the defender just takes the foul because Noah's not a great three-point shooter. Even if that happens, and that maybe that thought crossed Mike's mind, well, he's going to get fouled and not make the shots. You think that Noah can make one of those shots. You're still down one. They make two of theirs. You still have a chance to tie the ball game. All those things are available to you, but you don't do that. And it blows my mind how that was the play drawn up, and it was clear as day that was drawn up because they looked him off, passed him up for a down screen off the corner for Justin Holiday three, and it's just it didn't go in. Surprise there, and the Grizzlies lost the basketball game. They then had to play a foul game there. They even after that they still had a chance to get the ball in, and still had a chance to get the ball in there, and Mike Conley was fouled late, was all there's three possessions in a row, and I'm probably getting them mixed up, and apologies for that, but there are just so many problems there. I'm trying to get to them all. And the last part of that is Mike Conley is pushed. If you think he's pushed, I don't know. It was very tough to see, even on a replay. It's really still really really tough to see. Like when I first saw it live, I thought he tripped. I thought he just fell, and that's probably what the refs saw. And it was very difficult, even on a replay, it was very difficult to see if he got pushed or not. Refs don't call it, and Bulls pretty much seal the win after that. All that being said, there's still no reason for the Grizzlies to be in that situation with 30 seconds to go anyway. He had multiple times in the fourth quarter to execute on offense, but you didn't do it. You had multiple times in the fourth quarter to execute on defense, but didn't do it. You let Zach LaVine go unconscious in the fourth quarter and hit jumper after jumper and without any repercussion. No doubles, no ice in the pick, no nothing. No change in any way you play Zach LaVine in the fourth quarter when he starts to get hot and the Bulls start to pull away with the lead. Zero change. And that is the issue. Forget about the other stuff that comes down to the end of the game. Forget about all that stuff because it never should have been there in the first place. You never should have been in that situation in the first place. The way you dictate, the way you play defense in the fourth quarter, someone gets hot, you have to change. You have to adapt. You have to change the way you're going about it. If that player is literally hitting everything and pulling, and the lead is starting to pull away with five, six minutes left to go in the fourth, you have to do something different. You have to change something. You can't just continue to let him do the same thing over and over and over again. And that is the problem with this coaching staff. They never change anything. They just hope it's going to work out. They hope that it's just going to find its way out and nothing's going to happen. Well, whereas other coaches are constantly playing chess and they're playing checkers, they're making adjustments in halftimes, they're making adjustments in the fourth quarter, and the Grizzlies coaching staff's doing, they're just standing still, they're doing nothing, And it's time and time again. And it goes back to even the offense tonight. You look at the offense, and we talk about this a lot on this show, of the shot attempts and the shot distribution. You have Mike Conley, 7 for 21. Avery Bradley, 7 for 18. Valanciunas, 12 shots. Holiday, 13 shots. And Noah, 8 shots. You know, like, there's no real reason Justin Holiday should be taking 13 shots. Like, Valanciunas should probably have 15 and 16 shots. Avery Bradley, that's fine, 18 shots, because he's been your best player so far over the last few games. And Mike Conley, you know, 21 shots is fine. Obviously, 7 for 21 is not fine. 21 points on 21 shots is awful efficient. Like, that's some Rudy Gay stuff there. But you'd still want, I mean, he's your best player. So, like, you'll live with him taking that many shots and even being bad taking that many shots. But the shot distribution, I say all that because the shot distribution, even tonight, like, it varies so much from game to game. You'll have, like, I mean, Joakim Noah taking a lot. I mean, I understand, like, some players just get hot and they take the shots. I get that. Like, that's not something that's lost, you know, that's fallen on deaf ears here. I get that. But, like, there still has to be some type of consistency on offense. We go, okay, this is what we're running. This is what we're doing. These are the shots we're looking for. Like, this is the offense we're trying to get. Like, these are the efficient shots we're trying to get. And and JP and these guys are just throwing darts and trying to figure it out. Like, even tonight, everybody plays, and then Ivan Rabb doesn't play for some reason. Like, and I don't even get that, because most of the guys on the Bulls team are bigger guards. Like, Lauri Markkanen is, like, he's like, really, like, he's too tall to put a big guy on, because he's too fast for a big guy, too tall for a small guy. Why not try Ivan Rabb on him, who is bigger, not as tall as Lauri, but he's bigger and he's quicker. Like, they're just out there throwing darts, and minute wise, and it's just all over the place. Like, Tyler Dorsey gets 5 minutes, a random 5 minutes. Like, why even play him if he's going to get 5 minutes? That's not even worth it to play. And then why is Tyler Dorsey getting 5 minutes and Javon Carter is getting 0 minutes? Frankly, Javon Carter is the draft pick you wanted. He should be getting the 5 minutes if there's any 5 minutes to give. Like, I don't make sense. Like, don't give him any minutes. Just play someone else, you know, 2 minutes here, 2 minutes there. I don't get it. But it's just throwing darts. There's no consistency from game to game. There's no consistency in lineups. There's no consistency in shot attempts. There's no consistency in the way they play the offense. There is zero under the zero. It's just like these guys are out there just playing, and they're just playing pickup basketball. They're just out there playing, and there's no real rhyme or reason to it. And that is the most frustrating thing to watch about this Grizzlies team. That is the most frustrating thing to watch when you're watching this team lose to a team like the Bulls, who, yes, are better after the trade deadline. They do have better players, but they're still not a good team at the core of it. And so it's still very frustrating to watch this team struggle against teams they should have chances to beat, against this Bulls team, against the Cavs team. I mean, they have all these chances, and it's not like they're getting blown out on these last four games. They are in the games in the fourth quarters. They are in the game tonight, even in, like, the late in the game. It's just execution down the stretch. There's no plan. There is no offensive scheme of what we're trying to do. And I get the fact that there are a lot of new players. I understand there's so many other people that you're just trying to figure it out right now. But, you know, there comes a point where you just have to have it figured out. Like, I don't know what that is, or what point we're trying to, like, establish. Like, this is the point we got to have it figured out by now. I don't think there is one, but, like, there comes a point where you're an NBA coach, and, you know, you got to figure out who you have offensively, like, who you have on your roster, and tailor your offense to the people you have. Like, for the longest time, JB was trying to play an offense this year that was not even close to tailored to the people he had. He was trying to play an offense that was faster and based on more like a Houston style offense, and he didn't have the roster at all for that. And there comes a point where you just have to look at the roster, see who you have, and tailor your offensive scheme to those guys. These are the guys we have. These are our best players. These are the 9 players that are going to play every night. Let's figure out what fits best for them, and let's get them in the best positions to succeed. Like, if you want to play Justin Holiday 31 minutes, that's great. But stick him in the corner, run pick and run side pick and rolls to get the defense running or moving left to right, and get him open 3-pointer looks. He doesn't have to move. But you have to run side pick and rolls with Mike and Jonas Valanciunas to get the defense moving. You can't just stand around. If you're running a side pick and roll with Jonas Valanciunas with Justin Holiday on the same side and even Avery Bradley on the weak side, if you run that pick and roll and Mike gets into the interior part of the defense, what has to happen next is one of the guys, usually from the strong side, if he's on the strong side, has to rotate to Mike to stop the drive. Like, that is the defensive, that's how it has to work. So if Jonas Valanciunas and Mike Conley are inside pick and roll, and you Mike gets into the teeth of defense off the pick, Justin Holiday's guy has to suck in to the interior part of the paint to stop the drive. Well, guess what? The Justin Holiday is wide the F open in the corner three, standing still. That is Justin Holiday's game. That's where he shines the best. Same thing for Avery Bradley. Like, even if the help came from the weak side, I mean, Mike Conley's smart enough to and has enough court vision to see those passes. Like, it really is. I don't want to say it's that simple. I don't want to say that we can also say we can all be out here doing an NBA head coach's job. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying that there are things that we see, like just looking on a game at the game, that you have certain players and you have to play to those players' strengths. You have to put them in positions to succeed. And running Justin Holiday off of pick and rolls and getting him, you know, moving side to side and shooting threes, off a motion or off a curl or off the dribble, that's just not who he is. I mean, we've broken down Justin Holiday's game whenever he got here, and he gets considerably worse from three when he has to put the ball on the floor, even at least once, or he's moving when he's shooting. Considerably worse. Like, goes from almost 45% from when he's just corner threes down to like 30, 35, 36%. So that's the issue with this Grizzlies team. That's the issue with this coaching staff. It's an unfortunate because JB then goes in the postgame and goes on a rant about how Mike Conley isn't getting called for enough fouls because he didn't get the foul call at the end of the game, which, quite frankly, I don't even know if it was a foul. Like, it's very hard to see, very hard to tell. But he goes on a post conference and rants for 5 minutes about how Mike Conley doesn't get a call. I hate to tell you, JB, but that's not the reason you lost the game. That any reason you're losing games because Mike ain't getting foul calls. I get you're mad. I get you're frustrated. But that damn sure ain't the reason you're losing basketball games, for sure. You've been losing basketball games for a long time, and that ain't the reason. So I think that you probably need to look closer to home about why exactly the Grizzlies are losing basketball games. This offense is not tailored to what the players that they have on this roster. And until they start putting those guys in positions to succeed, instead of just hoping that Mike Conley and Avery Bradley and Jonas Valanciunas will just be good enough every night to win basketball games, they're not going to be. You just don't have enough. You don't have enough talent around those guys that you can just go out there and hope they're good enough to beat the other team. You got to do something. And it just, for me, from just watching the games, the outside looking in, again, I have no idea what goes on in that coaching staff's room. I have no idea. I'm not a coach. I've never have been. I don't claim I could be a coach. But from the outside looking in, it definitely doesn't look like they are in great positions. And it's unfortunate, and that's probably the most frustrating thing to watch. And I think that's probably why a lot of people have found frustrating to watch most of this year, especially in this latter half with a lot of you have some of the same problems that you have earlier in the year, even before the trade deadline. You have some of the same problems from earlier in the year still. Like, it hasn't changed. So there's only a few common denominators. I mean, hell, there's only like two players or three players that started the season with the Grizzlies that are still with the team. So like, there's only a few common denominators if their problems exist from the beginning of the season, the middle of the season, and are still existing, of this weird rotation, shot attempts, lineup, like all this stuff, minutes. Like, there's only one common denominator there, and that's the coaching staff. And that, again, is unfortunate. It's frustrating because it feels like everybody else can see it but the coaching staff. And so I know that was a long rant, and I apologize, but it's just something that it frustrates me. I'm sure it frustrates you guys as well. And I apologize for probably extending this show when I said at the beginning it was probably not going to be a good show or probably not going to be a long show. I apologize for extending this show by even longer. But the Grizzlies take on the Mavericks on Saturday. They're away at the Mavericks. And then the Oklahoma City Thunder on Sunday. They got a back-to-back there. So They got a few days off. They got a few days to figure it out, hopefully, and come back and try to get it against the Mavericks. Again, the Mavericks, sorry, it's a winnable game. Although at this point, I'm not sure if you can call things winnable games or not winnable games for this team, because they're just all over the place. So, again, the Grizzlies play again this weekend. They lose to the Chicago Bulls tonight, 109-107. If you're not already subscribed on iTunes, please do that right now. Go subscribe on iTunes so you do not miss an episode. If you're not, if you have time, please go leave a review, rate this show in iTunes. It really helps us in the iTunes rankings. If you're not an Apple person, you can find the show on Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, any podcast platform at all. It's available everywhere. If you're still unsure where to go after all that, just go to LockedOnGrizzlies.com.